comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko. Joining me as always, he is the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Greg.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good.
What's what we like to hear, by God? I mean, feel free to elaborate, but you don't have to.
Nope, just doing good.
Okay. I mean,
yeah.
By the way, listeners, if you don't already subscribe to the YouTube channel, you should, and check out the newest video, which will be out on October the 4th, a.k.a. today, if you're listening to it on Sunday, as Mike and I tell about our hilarious refrigerator tragedy stories this week.
Yes.
So.
And we also we do a little superhero draft.
A little superhero draft, Mike. I feel like we've done these before. I think we just talked about this in episode 300, about your favorite episode was with Kevin when we were drafting heroes for like a big battle royale.
Yeah, this time that one we got to choose, I believe, if I remember correctly. This one it was – what did we choose? Yeah, we chose. Yeah, because it was a draft. We were able to choose. I think
this is less a draft and more a lottery. These were assigned to us.
Yes.
Okay. So there you have it, folks. Check out the YouTube and then stick around for next week's episode. I'm kidding. You subscribe, you'll be getting it no matter what. LOLOL. We'll have our battles and we'll go from there.
Perfect.
All right. Mike, shall we just get into things since it's already late?
Let's do it.
All right. We're going to start where we always start, and that is referring to the good book. The good book is The League of Regrettable Superheroes, a Loot Crate edition by John Morris. And randomly opened up to page number 56, Mike, and our hero of the week, Rainbow Boy.
Legendary Rainbow Boy.
And the legend that he is. Such a legend that his creator is unknown.
It was me.
Okay. Wait a minute. No. Are you sure?
I mean, sure.
If so, you look incredibly well for your age, because Rainbow Boy debuted in Regular Feller's Heroic Comics number 14, which was Eastern Color Printing. And it came out in September of 1942, Mike.
That's a long time ago.
By the way, I like this little addition. It says, no relation to Rainbow Bright or Skittles Candy.
Oh, man. That would have been a good crossover.
I'm sure us mentioning it will get Rainbow Boy back into the mainstream consciousness. And it won't be long, Mike. It won't be long.
I'm assuming there's going to be a bidding war between Marvel and DC on who gets them.
Actually, I would say be looking forward to pop up on like a Hulu original or Netflix original or Prime or something like that.
That's true. That's true.
I think Marvel and DC kind of have their hands full.
Well, yeah.
So the Golden Age of Comics had, this is directly from page 56 in John Morris, the Golden Age of Comics had no shortage of heroes sporting the good old red, white, and blue, but one costumed champion beat them all, sporting the colors of his namesake. It's Rainbow Boy. Powered by the sun or any sufficiently bright light, including flashlights and glowing magma, Rainbow Boy was capable of flying at the speed of light, while producing a prismatic display in his wake. He could also extend the Roy G. Biv effect. You get it, Roy G. Biv. At will, using it to form barriers, shields, bridges, even temporary prisons. Though his plain white costume was mostly a blank canvas, his powers more than made up for the monotony with brilliant displays, not to mention the rainbow crest on his helmet.
You know what, as you're talking about it, one thing came to mind, and that is Rainbow, who would win Rainbow Boy versus Dazzler?
I'm not going to dignify that question with a response.
Because I don't think there's a true winner in that.
Exactly. In his private life, Rainbow Boy was Jay Watson, a boy genius who appears on the Wizard Kid radio program, some sort of quiz show for juvenile geniuses. Often teamed up with Eastern's big hitter, the soggy superhero Hydro Man, who could turn himself into clear liquid and mentally control bodies of water on command. In fact, Rainbow Boy debuted in Hydro Man's feature.
Yes. Hero at Comics number 9, I believe. Or 19, sorry.
14.
14? Okay, well, okay,
14. I feel like I already said that, Mike.
Well, and I'm reading this here in Hero at Comics number 19. He teams up with Hydro Man to defend the planet against an alien invasion. And the funny part is, it goes on, it says, he foils the invasion by showing the alien ruler just how savage the Allies' own enemies are. The alien ruler decides that he doesn't want to fight anyone whose enemies are so cruel. So basically he goes, man, if you think you're bad, look at the other enemies we have. The aliens are just like, whoa, sorry.
Rainbow Boy's multi-hued crusade against crime didn't last long. Only 9 appearances under his belt, and he hung up his rainbow-crested hat. There's always a chance he could be revived if the right venue opens up, say, as mascot for a breakfast cereal or a greeting card company.
That's a start. You know how it goes. It always goes greeting card company, exclusive on Hulu.
We'll go with that. Rainbow Boy. Let's just move on. I mean, yeah, it's hard to even take the publisher seriously when it's regular fellers, no U, and in place of the U is an apostrophe. So it's R-E-G apostrophe L-A-R fellers, F-E-L-L-E-R-S, Heroic Comics, and on the cover says free prizes.
Well, you know, here's the – so regular fellers – is if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a down deep south type of, you know.
It is.
But then they have Rainbow Boy.
Yes, but it was 1942.
Which makes it even weirder.
Well, I think I understand the correlation you're making, and I don't believe that the rainbow was, you know, used till I want to say maybe the 60s.
That's probably right. Yeah.
So
yeah, you're right.
Will you stop it?
Hey, I get a lot of notifications. I'm a popular man.
Fair. So Rainbow Boy coming soon to a streaming service near you. Probably not.
We can wish.
Here's the thing. As we do, as we have the last 5-10 years, as we've taken relatively innocent, you know, comic book characters, and we've always got to make them gritty, and I just don't know how you make Rainbow Boy gritty. You know, like, how do you change that superhero suit to, you know, be gritty for television? I don't think you can.
You can make it to where he kind of, got persecuted. He's homeless now. He still has the costume because he likes to wear it all the time. But it's a little dirty.
The crest, instead of a crest, like instead of a helmet with a crest, could be a rainbow colored mohawk.
Oh yes, yeah, of course, yeah, absolutely.
In that case, you know, he's going to be a superhero for all.
That's right.
Because who doesn't like a rainbow mohawk?
I can't think of one person.
I can't. I can also say I've never seen a rainbow mohawk in person, so we're just going to go with that. So anyway, and also kudos to the publisher of the book, the League of Regrettable Superheroes, because which was Quirk Books, I believe, because they actually put you know, the little headline under his name in the page in rainbow coloring. So nice little touch. Ooh, nice little touch nice, there.
Very clever.
Page 56. All right. Mike, let's move on. Mike, I've been reading some stuff.
All right. What you been reading?
Mike, I've been cleaning up my comic room because I've got to. My mom found out I have a comic book room and that it's in the mess that it is. And with the addition that we have coming to the family, and she's like, you need to get that room ready. So she keeps asking me every time we talk on the phone, or she's like, got that room cleaned up yet? No. She's like, I'm going to give you to Halloween, and then I'm coming in with a trash bag, which is hilarious because she doesn't have a key to my house, and I'm a grown man. So, but I'm working on it. I am. I ran out of bags and boards today, so I've got to get some more, get some I think I'll feel better after I get everything boarded, bagged and boarded, and then I can get everything in boxes, and then we'll take that next step, whatever that next step might be. But in doing so, Mike, have I ever mentioned on the show how far behind I am on reading comics?
Well, I mean, considering you have a comic book room that I don't know if you've read many of them, you know. I know you're pretty far behind. So am I, though. I can't say anything.
So I came across, first of all, I have almost, I think I have complete runs, New 52, like Batman, Justice League, Green Lantern for obvious reasons. Nah, I don't have the complete run of Flash. I think I picked it up around issue 20 or 25 when former guest on the show, Van Jensen, started writing on it, on the Flash. I have some Justice Society of America, some Red Lantern, etc. Eventually, it all became too much. When they started the Rebirth, I scaled back to, I think, just Justice League, Flash, and Batman, and Justice League. And since then, I don't think I'm getting any titles monthly. I kind of wait for the trades. But I found the Convergence event. Mike, are you familiar with the Convergence event?
Explain it to me.
I can't really. I'm only three issues in. It's about it. It's eight issues in the core story with 42 issue tie-ins. I'm on issue three, or no? I think I'm now have to read 4 through 8. But this story, Mike, spanned DC Comics from April to May 2015. So I'm about 5.5 years behind, but that's a good sign. I'm starting to get there.
You're doing it.
So I'm reading that. I think I've told you before that I'm reading Jeff Johns' run on the Justice Society of America, classic, or not maybe a classic, but the kind of starter story that he's real proud of. And earlier today, after I ran out of bags and boards, I started reading Wonder Woman Year One, which was a Greg Rucka book. And I'm about halfway through it. I'm enjoying it. It kind of aligns with the first Wonder Woman movie. However, Steve Trevor is like a modern day soldier, not World War One. Still, it's a plane crash in Themyscira, and in the book. Spoiler for a book that's a few years old by now. Wonder Woman, or she's not known as Wonder Woman at the time, but Diana has to, she wins. They have like a tournament, Amazonian. Anyway, any Themyscirian warrior, can choose to, participate, and the winner actually gets the queen. I'm not going to pronounce her name because I know I'll get it wrong. Hippolyta or whatever. She says, you'll be our ambassador. You'll give up your immortality, but you will be our ambassador to the world of man. And you'll take Steve Trevor back to where he belongs. And then you'll help him, finish his mission. So it's kind of a different, when they meet Steve Trevor in the book, they don't have like all the doubt and anger and fear, that it's more like, okay, well, you know, we've been found, but let us help him. So it's kind of a different take on that than the movie from 2017. I'm in it now. Like I said, it's modern, set in modern times versus 100 years ago. And it's a good read so far. Like I said, I'm going through it pretty quickly. And I found that I think if I'm going to continue buying and reading comic books, they're going to have to be trade paperbacks. They're just going to have to be.
That's understandable.
Thank you.
Sounds like a pretty good story.
Well, Mike, when I'm done with it, you can borrow it.
Sweet.
And 800 other comics.
Yeah. All right, perfect. Because I have room in this small townhouse for a comic book room.
Yeah, totally. I mean, of course you do, Mike.
Yeah.
So, I mentioned three things. So, yeah, those are the three things that I'm reading.
Nice. Cool. I have not been reading anything.
Mike.
I should.
You had one job, and that was to read.
Yeah. I've been reading my lessons that I have to teach people. Those aren't anything to do with superheroes, though. What did I watch? Oh, I just watched two episodes of Doom Patrol.
Hmm.
I know you've only watched one, which is fine.
Correct.
What did you think about the first episode? What did you think about it?
What I remember about it, it's been a couple weeks now, but I enjoyed it. I like that it's, you know, honestly, I thought going in fairly unaware of it in its entirety, I thought it was going to be like a period, you know, it was like set in like the 60s or 70s, but quickly they said, no, 30 years later, and here they are. And so, you know, I enjoy that they're, you know, they've made an attempt to modernize it. And I haven't even been introduced to all the characters yet, but I'm excited for where it goes.
Yeah, there's I started watching it because, like, there was really nothing else on. Like, I'd finished watching the latest episode of The Boys, and then I was like, oh, let's see what else is there. And, well, actually, I'll talk about it. Okay, so I watched the first episode of it, and I didn't know much about Doom Patrol, I'll be honest with you. I knew about Robot Man just because I had heard about it when Doom Patrol was coming out. So I knew Brendan Fraser was the voice and pre-robot. He was Cliff Steele. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know about the other characters at all. And it got me kind of interested. I mean, I don't know if I've only watched two episodes, but that's because they're about an hour apiece. And so I'll watch one and I'll take a break from it and, you know, play some video games.
Do you think it's... do you think, and I think this is a subjective question, so I'm not, like, you know, asking for the definitive answer, but do you think it's a statement on the quality of a show if you, you know, can sit and binge it or not?
Sort of, yeah. Well, actually, I don't know. I don't know about, say, quality of it, because there's some, like, okay, I'm trying to think, New Girl. I was and binged that several episodes of that at a time. I don't think the quality necessarily is great. It's not bad, but it's not like I'm going to run around telling everybody, oh my God, you have to watch this show. Same with The Good Place. That was another one. I basically binged the whole last season of it in maybe 2 days. One or 2 days. So there's something about it that makes you want to keep watching. I don't know if it's quality. It could also be that it's just you don't have to pay attention too much to mm-hmm. it. You know, you can have it kind of on in the background. But that's not what I wanted to do with Doom Patrol. Doom Patrol, I didn't have my phone with me. I was just sitting there watching it.
I know, like The Boys, when I was rewatching The Boys over the summer in anticipation of season 2 coming out, I sat there and I watch. I think it helped that I'd already seen all the episodes, but I might only watch like one, maybe two at the most. But at the same time, I don't have a ton of time to just sit there and watch, you know, R-rated show, you know, explicit programming. So it's kind of the same with Doom Patrol. But at the same time, I think of, you know, and it's been probably a year at least since I've watched Carnival Row. But I remember, you know, I would sit there and watch a couple episodes in a row. Something about it just captivated me a little bit more than like the Doom Patrol has. So, I don't know. It's got to be magnetic. It's got to be, you know, fully appealing for me to sit there. And I'm not the type of person who, you know, to sit and watch two, like, drama episodes back to back, that's like 2 hours of your life. And you can do that with, like, two episodes of The Office because it's like 44 minutes, you know?
Right.
But a lot of these, you know, shows that are made specifically for streaming, you know, for no commercials, they're an hour long. And so to sit and to watch more than one, that's a commitment, you know? So.
And I will say also for me, and I know this is for you, it has to be where I don't want to play Red Dead Redemption 2 instead. Because a lot of times I will, I'll be watching it, and then I'll be like, you know what? Let me just switch this over. Let me play a little bit.
I found, you know, especially with like the heavier shows, like, all right, I need something to balance it out. So I will, you know, I'll watch an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine because, somebody really cool and smart told me about that show and stayed on me about that one. You know, back when, you know, I've seen Community all the way through again because somebody really cool and smart told me that that was a good show worth watching. So I definitely need the balance. Like, I just can't sit there and watch the, you know, the drama over and over and over because I do feel like it just starts to weigh you down at some point, you know?
Well, I absolutely. I will give you another show to watch if you want some drama free. And I don't think you've seen it. I think you've seen – have you seen Toys That Made Us?
Yes.
They have Movies That Made Us on Netflix now.
I've seen it. Do they have a second season or is it just the first season?
Just the first one. You've seen it already?
I've seen it.
Oh, man. I thought it was new.
And at your urging or recommendation, I did watch High Score a while back as well.
Okay. So. Okay. Nice. I forgot what that was about.
Video games. The history of video games?
Just history overall. That's right. Okay.
Starting with like arcades and Ataris and working up to, you know, like everything now. So.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, buddy.
That. Go you.
Go me. And I'll tell you that most of my watching is like shower watching. You know, I'll put the tablet up. I have a place I can rest it. I'll watch it while I'm in the shower. That's too much information. I apologize.
Do you have it in the shower or outside of the shower?
It is outside the shower.
Okay.
I'm not one of those crazy people with a TV in the shower yet.
Well, I didn't know if you had like some kind of like plastic bag or something you put it in. Or
I feel like that's more work than.
I agree.
I don't need to watch Cobra Kai that bad.
And I don't need to stay in the shower that long. I mean, I want to, but especially in wintertime.
Yeah. It depends when I'm showering and what time I'm showering. I know that those two things are, you know, sound similar, but if I'm showering in the evening, you know, it's like, okay, well, I got a little bit more time. But if I'm showering in the morning, a lot of times I've got to get up and go unless I'm in the shower by 6:30. In that case, I can relax and feel the water cascading off of my – never mind. So other things that we should talk about that are not me being naked in the shower.
Anything else?
Any help? Help us. Well, let's get to some of the news notes that popped up in the past week, Mike.
Let's do it.
It's time for the news. Hit us with that sounder, Mike. Perfect. So
that changed.
Did you know? I'm very confused by this now. I'm looking, I see, according to posts that I made on the Facebook page from links that I shared, one from comicbook.com and the other from comicbookmovie.com, I don't know if we're getting a Lion King sequel or prequel from Disney, like a live version, but apparently Barry Jenkins, the director of Moonlight, is set to direct it. I just now realized that there's a bunch of similar information in both posts, but I don't know which one's actually taking place.
Greg, we're getting both of them, baby.
I don't think Barry Jenkins is going to do.
We're getting the best of both worlds.
Are we though, Mike?
And the sequel,
Mike.
a prequel and a sequel.
Mike.
By the way, I wrote two very funny comments, and I can't remember what they are. I just remember every comment I put is hilarious.
Let's see what Mike says. I know this is what everyone is thinking. Finally. Co-host of the year. And that was on one of them.
I put that after everybody was saying how much they hated it.
Yeah, I know. And the other one, nope, never mind. That's another Josh, friend of the show. Best friend of the show, Josh, after last week.
Thank you. Yes.
And the other comment was, more cats, the better. Am I right or am I right? Co-host of the year, hashtag meow.
Hashtag co-host of the year, hashtag meow.
Actually, I'm going to go ahead and tag friend of the show and my podcast buddy Chad Smart in that, because he will.
That's why I put the cat stuff up there. I figured he would comment on it. He didn't.
Yeah. I can't even tag him in it. I guess he doesn't like the page. Jerk. So anyway, Lion King, do we need, first of all, I can't sit through and watch the live Lion King anyway. Like I gave it a shot, made about 20 minutes. I'm like, even my son's like, I don't want to watch this, Dad. We watched Lion King yesterday because he said, Lion King's my favorite. It doesn't matter. The kid changes his favorites, you know, like he changes his underwear, which is about every other day. We don't need more live action Lion King, or let me rephrase, more realistically looking Lion King.
And we've talked about this before, because I did the same thing. I tried to watch the Lion King, because I like the Lion King cartoon. And I tried to watch the realistic version of it. And we've talked about this before. The huge difference between the cartoon and the realistic is the cartoon you're able to express. You know, you can express emotions more. You know, you can make the lion smile more. If you're trying to do it realistic, lions don't do that.
No.
You know, lions don't emote at all. So
and they don't sing.
Well, no, they do. That's actually factual. They do sing and dance. Everybody knows that.
Are you sure about that?
That's basic science. That's science 101.
Well,
and
shows what I know.
Warthogs and meerkats are great friends with each other.
They have names.
Mr. Warthog? No, it's Timon and Pumbaa. Which one is Timon and which one is Pumbaa? Hmm?
Are you seriously? Are you quizzing me or do you not know?
I know. I'm quizzing you.
Timon's the meerkat and Pumbaa is the warthog.
Actually, it's backwards. Little known fact: they tricked everybody in the movie by giving them fake names.
So anyway, we may be getting Lion King sequel or prequel. I don't know which. It doesn't matter. I won't watch it. Moving on. What we are getting, Mike, is a live action version of Ms. Marvel and Kamala Khan.
Yes.
And the actress's name is, I'm going to get it wrong probably, it's Iman Vellani.
Sounds about right.
Okay, good.
You tried.
She looks like a teenager, and that's what Ms. Marvel's character is. So I know anything about Ms. Marvel. Don't know anything about Ms. Vellani. So that's a thing that's happening.
I know that, and I remember this when we talked about these people on our YouTube. I'll talk about it again here. I believe in a Dynamic Duel episode, they had Ms. Marvel versus somebody. I can't remember. I think this is where I remember it from. But I know Ms. Marvel basically came because of Captain Marvel. Like Captain Marvel came first. Like Ms. Marvel was a fan of Captain Marvel. She got hit with the Terrigen mist or whatever that they have in humans. That's how she gained her powers. I don't know if you know much about the Terrigen mist. So basically the Terrigen mist was, and I forget exactly what happens, but if you had a certain gene in your body and you got hit with this green spray or whatever, it boosted your quote unquote, you know, it was basically mutant gene.
Hmm.
It was that kind of thing. I believe her powers, and you can kind of tell this with the picture, is the ability to stretch and change density. Like, she can make her hand really big and really dense. I don't know. I can't remember.
And too much healing more factor.
Healing factor. So it's going to be interesting. Also, the first, and I don't want to get this, the first Muslim character.
Yes.
To headline her own comic book.
Correct. And, which, again, comes with it, pressure, but also a terrific amount of, maybe terrific is not the right word, but at least, some representation.
Yeah.
Khan is Marvel's first Muslim character to headline her own comic book. Yep. First appearance was, not that long ago, August 2013 in Captain Marvel number 14.
Yep.
Which she started less than 12 months later, started in her own solo series. So you were right, elasticity, shape-shifting, and healing factor.
I think she was in one of the comic books I read, the Ultimate Spider-Man, the one with Miles Morales is in it. I believe she's in that one. I'm not saying to look it up. I'm just trying to remember in my head.
There's actually... here we go. She was the first time a Muslim character headlined a book at Marvel Comics. That's right. I do remember that in New 52, which I think came out in 2012. Not 100% sure on that. But anyway, Simon Baz was a Green Lantern in the New 52. That was obviously DC. They've also had Muslim characters in Dust, and which is usually appears in X-Men related comic books, and M, who is also in the X-Men family of books, we'll stick with that because I don't know how far back that goes, and I don't want to speak improperly. But I digress. Not the first character, but on the Marvel side, looks to be the first one who headlined her own book. So.
Right. Yeah, that'll be interesting. I don't know when the TV show is going to come out. I'm guessing 2021 or 2022.
It'll be a minute.
Yeah. But I'm glad they got her cast.
Speaking of getting things. I did not mean to yawn in the middle of the show. I apologize a little bit. Casting news as well, and let's stay on Marvel side. Marvel / Sony coming to the next Spider-Man movie, which is Spider-Man Running Away From Home, due in 2022. I don't know. Electro, Jamie Foxx is going to reprise his role. However, and I'm glad that you caught this and shared this with our nerdy Nimrods, he's not going to be blue.
Yeah, so it's there's so much speculation over it. At first, I honestly didn't believe it, but there's been enough sources coming out.
Did you see Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Yeah.
I saw it in the theaters.
I think I did too. I'm not sure, but I know I've seen it.
And I liked how they pulled off that effect of like the blue effect with the hood. They lined the inside of his hood with blue LEDs to project the blue on his face and kind of give it that, rather than doing it all completely in post. And I think they did something similar. In fact, I know they did in the Watchmen movie with Billy Crudup as Dr. Manhattan. And they, his suit had LEDs projecting out. So, he was putting that blue glow and a few blue other things to, Silk Spectre and things like that. So.
Yeah. It's a great effect. I'm sure that they're going to do something similar, but obviously not blue this time.
Yeah.
I'm so curious of how they're going to fit him in, because you can't just say he's the same. Well, okay. You can do parallel dimensions, and maybe that's what they're doing.
Spider-Verse, baby.
Spider-Verse. They can do something similar, because I've also heard rumors, and these are take this with a grain of salt, but they're trying to get Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, or at least I haven't really heard Andrew Garfield. I have heard Tobey Maguire to come back. So maybe it's a Spider-Verse type of thing. But if they don't do it like that, and where it's like, okay, it's Electro, but we've pulled him from this universe, you know, or he's come through from this universe, you kind of have to do it where it's, hey, it just happens to be the same actor doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that works as well.
Yeah, it'd be, I mean, here's the thing, and if it's... If they have him playing Electro, you know, in that character in the what is essentially now the MCU, which it makes it sound like in the Hollandverse, then you know, it could be a variation. You know, he doesn't necessarily have to be blue. However, if they're to quote and misappropriate Ghostbusters, if they're crossing the streams and they're bringing him over from, you know, like the Garfield verse, then I think you have to keep it true to that just a little bit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But like you said, they can kind of change it a little bit as he comes through the portal or whatever. You know, so, he loses his blue color changes to, I don't know what color it is going to be.
Well, the old suit, I believe, was green with like a yellow star.
Yeah.
On the head crest or something, I don't know.
That sounds about right.
But, I mean, I think blue looks better than that.
Yeah. And isn't Sam Raimi's directing this one, isn't he? Or producer or something with it? He has something to do with it, right?
I thought he was doing the Multiverse of Madness, the Doctor Strange movie.
Maybe that's it. Okay.
So. So anyway, there it is. Welcome back, Jamie Foxx. Get ready for that payday.
Yes.
Did you ever see, was it Project Power?
Oh, yeah. We talked about it.
All right. Good. I know I talked about it. I couldn't remember. So, I mean, he was good in that one.
Oh, yeah. Really good.
All right. So, moving on. Conan. Did you, like, ever watch the Conan, like, the Arnold Schwarzenegger Conan movies growing up?
No.
Okay, same. Did you watch the one with Jason Momoa?
Nope.
I did.
Okay.
Don't remember anything about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Conan the Barbarian, live action series in development for Netflix. And I guess we'll move on.
Why? I mean, I don't understand. I don't know if it's in public domain, if it's what it is.
I remember watching the Conan the Barbarian, or maybe it was Conan the Adventurer cartoon in like the early 90s more than I remember watching any live action Conan anything.
Yeah.
And the only reason I know it is because he had like a, I don't know if it's a companion or a pet or however you want to categorize it, but a phoenix. And I don't know the phoenix's name, but the phoenix, and you know, I was 10 or 11 at the time, but the Phoenix's favorite food was pomegranates. And that's the first time I'd ever heard of pomegranates. So years later, when I found out pomegranates were a real thing, I was like, hey, Conan show from the early 90s.
And you try to feed it to a phoenix.
No. And I'll tell you why, Mike. Phoenixes aren't real.
Well, they're real if you believe enough.
Nope. That's not how it works. Facts don't care about your feelings, Mike.
By the way, I would love to have you in an improv show where you just disagree with everybody. Because you know, like the whole improv thing is yes and? Where somebody's just like, hey, Greg, welcome to the library. You're like, this isn't a library. This is just a stage.
I would be like Michael Scott doing improv. Yes. Freeze!
Yes. Yeah.
I will shoot you. Oh. That makes me sad because I just had to compare myself to Michael Scott.
Well, he was the world's best boss, so.
I mean, let's, while we're talking about it real quick, the show was better with him, but yes. He was not the best boss.
He was so cringy.
Yeah.
Okay, so people, I liked The Office.
Mm-hmm, same. You
know? However, I totally understand why some people don't. Because there are definitely times where he just does something so cringy where you're like whatever it was, like all you have to do is walk through this door and then not say anything to anybody for 30 seconds, and then he would walk through a door and then immediately say something. And I'm just sitting there going, and obviously that's a made up thing, but I'm sitting there going, don't.
I can't stop. I can't remember. I'm in season 7 now, which is where it starts to go downhill. But there, I'm trying to remember. Is it? Maybe this is actually late season 6. But anyway, there's. Oh, I know. It's when he starts hooking up with Donna. Like the restaurant manager or whatever who's married,
okay,
and he doesn't find anything wrong with it. He's like, hey, what, you know, hey, if whatever. But the husband's not giving her what she needs. That's why she comes to Big Daddy Mike or whatever. And he's like really torn up about it. And so like Jim and Pam confront him in the break room. They're like, oh, got some ice cream there. He's like, no, we're out of ice cream. This is mayonnaise and olives. And he's like, oh, I can't eat. Like, then stop.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm gonna piss a lot of people off here. I don't even want to open up the can of worms. I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
And
then I'll tell everybody.
That's fine. But I don't want to open up that can of worms because that's not what Nerds United is all about.
Okay.
We bring people together. We're not a divisive group. So, Conan, coming to Netflix sometime.
Sure.
Speaking of cinematic universes, Mike. Okay. You remember this one?
I mean, you have to tell me.
Oh, why? You know, you're the one who's supposed to compile all of the news and then read it to me, and I'm supposed to act surprised.
Well, I normally put it on the Facebook page, but I can't get Facebook on my phone. Well, I can get it on my phone, but I think it'll affect the call.
Dr. Seussverse.
Oh, finally. Yes. Just kidding. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Dr. Seuss books. You don't need a cinematic universe for everything, except for Marvel. Obviously, they're the only ones that do it right. But in reading the article, because yes, I actually read the article, the characters aren't necessarily going to interact with each other,
mm-hmm.
but they're kind of in the same world, they say.
Okay.
So it's not like the Lorax is going to pop up in the Cat in the Hat. You know, they'll have their own individual communities, I guess we'll say.
Can we talk briefly about some of the Dr. Seuss movies that have been made?
Okay.
The Cat in the Hat with Mike Myers is absolute garbage.
Yeah, agreed.
I have seen the Lorax, like, CGI movie.
Right.
And I feel like it's okay.
Okay.
The newer Grinch movie was starring Benedict Cumberbatch. Mm-hmm. I don't hate it. I'll never hate that movie, and I don't care what anybody says, but that's the first movie my wife and I took my son to. Our son, too,
okay.
Took him his first theater experience. And so, you know, that one will always be a little bit special. Plus, I do have a soft spot in my heart for Christmas. So, that being said, I think I actually like that one. You know, now that, you know, age has affected me and things like that, I think I like that movie more than the Jim Carrey, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, or The Grinch, whatever the hell it's called. But my favorite is still the TV classic from like the 60s or 70s, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the little short, the 23-25 minute story.
I could say yes. I would, the cartoon one, I could see that one. I haven't seen it in a while. I'm trying to remember it, but I could see that one being number one. It's a tie basically between the Jim Carrey version and the newer Benedict Cumberbatch version. I didn't hate any of them.
Okay.
I forgot who I saw. I saw the newer one. I think I saw it with my two nephews, Dean and Eddie, I think. I don't think Hayden was there. Yeah. That's decent.
Poor Hayden. It's on Netflix, I think, if you ever want to go back and watch it, Mike. It's right there for your viewing pleasure. All right.
I was watching something, yeah.
One more story, Mike, and then I think we're going to get out of here.
Righty.
The story of the week.
Yes.
John Cena reportedly eyed for Duke Nukem live action movie.
Yes. Apparently, they've been, I think I want to say 10 years ago, they were talking to him about the same thing. They were talking about a Duke Nukem movie, talking about having John Cena in it. Obviously, nothing came of it. And then talks are back on now. He would be perfect for that type of character because he can play those big, muscular soldier type of characters. I played Duke Nukem on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
Long, long time ago.
It came out in 1996, Mike.
Yep, that was probably all the time. I was probably, I would have been 15 at that time, so, you know.
I had to do the math, and then I remember you're older than me.
Well, I'm 15.
Some of my favorite, you know, because there are some good quotes in Duke Nukem. Like the first lines, I don't know if you remember the first lines of the movie. By the way, I also played Duke Nukem it was on the box, Duke Nukem 3D. I played it. Yeah. The only way that I could beat it, and I was actually talking to best friend of the show, Josh, about it this week. The only way I was able to play it was in God mode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And with the, the unlimited ammunition and like all the guns and things like that cheat code as well.
Yep.
So I joked with him, like, first game that I beat, you know, that wasn't like, you know, side scroll Mario or something like that. First, lack of a better term, adult game that I beat, but I couldn't do it without the cheat codes. But like the first line of the movie or the game, and I remember hearing it, like in my head, he sees like his transport being shot down. He's like, damn, those alien bastards are going to pay for shooting up my ride.
And I can guarantee that's going to be a line in the movie. I think they're going to have a lot of those classic lines.
Well, that and another one is, and by the way, I'm stealing these from IMDb, which, that's right, if you Google Duke Nukem quotes, it'll take you to IMDb, the page for the game, and you'll see great quotes like, I'll rip your head off and shit down your neck.
Yes, yep.
Remember when he's doing karaoke, and I think it's karaoke you're playing at the video games or something like that, and he's singing Born to Be Wild. But I do think it's funny. There's a lot of, I'm finding a lot of symmetry early on, and maybe it's just in certain contact points, but you know, I think John Cena said something about how he's going to be in the next Fast and Furious movie. Is that not right?
Yeah. No, that's right. He's been in the trailer for it.
Okay. And, you know, now he's at least reportedly eyed for Duke Nukem. But go back 15 years or something like that, and Dwayne Johnson was played in Doom, which was, a movie for another, you know, first-person shooter game. Similar to Duke Nukem, and so there are some similarities. There are some parallels. The unfortunate thing for John Cena is that he is the dude's in phenomenal shape. I'm not, you know, but Rock got started in movies almost 20 years ago, you know, and John Cena is really starting to get his legs under him in Hollywood, you know, at a much later time in his life, because I don't think there's that much of an age gap between them. It's just that John spent, you know, most of his time in the WWE, and Rock has spent, you know, most of his career in Hollywood. So I do also think it's funny and a little hypocritical, but of course nobody knows the future. But when The Rock came back and he and Cena had their, you know, big WrestleMania match years ago, Cena's like, I'm never going to leave these good people, the good fans in the WWE universe. And here he is. Yeah. like 10 years later.
He's talked about that in some interviews.
Oh, has he?
Where he was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, at the time, I Hollywood wasn't even, a thing I thought about, And then obviously the offers come in, and if somebody says, hey, I'm going to pay you X amount of money, you don't have to do any stunts. You just, you come here these certain days. Versus, I am going to pay X amount of money, but you're going to be, hurting your back. You're going to be hurting your legs,
doing all the bumps and all that other stuff.
Yeah. And plus getting older, I get it. By the way, I'm glad you mentioned Doom, because because I played Duke Nukem, and I remember certain parts of it. And I always remember the strip club scene. I think there was a strip club.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, 15, 16-year-old Mike loved that. But then there was also another game I played, and I thought Diablo, and I was trying to think, but no, it was Doom. Doom was the other PC game that I used to always play.
Mm-hmm. And I never played Doom as much. I did play, early on, I played Wolfenstein. And I think even on, wasn't the Xbox, but it might have been the N64 or something like that. I think I might have played a console version of a Wolfenstein game, but I don't remember as well. And maybe
I think it was something like that. Yeah,
maybe it was Xbox. I got it. Hey, we all know I'm notorious for my bad memory, so who knows? But anyway, Duke Nukem movie is apparently in the works, which means that, look, they've already got that story. I don't know how you improve on that story, and I don't know how you, dramatize, whatever, that story. I don't think you need to touch everything, damn it.
I agree with you. And video games to movies are usually bad.
Right.
I mean, there's a couple that are, honestly, Detective Pokemon or Pokemon, whatever it was called.
Pokemon Detective Pikachu?
I haven't seen it, but it got decent reviews.
You haven't seen it? Video
I have not.
Let me tell you where you can find it. On the Max.
All right.
And let me say,
check it out.
It's an enjoyable watch. But
that's what I've heard.
I think part of that is the charm of a Ryan Reynolds. So
that's true. That's true. But with a Duke Nukem, I think just keep it very cheesy. Because the game, it was cheesy. I mean,
you'd have to find, it's a delicate balance between rated R and cheesy.
True, yeah.
But I think, I could see it being very similar to Deadpool, honestly.
I was thinking the same thing, and I was almost afraid of that. I'm afraid they're going to try to copy Deadpool.
But are they?
Probably. Deadpool, here's the thing. If a movie does really great, everybody wants to copy it.
That's right. And if a podcast does really great, like Nerds United, everybody wants to copy it.
That's so true.
That's why there are now hundreds of comic book podcasts out there. Maybe even thousands. Absolutely. But Nerds United's been around for over 7 years. 7.5 years almost. And so there you go. We're the best.
Damn right.
Mike, can we call it a night?
Do it. That's fine.
Papa needs a nap.
By this time, you should probably just sleep, really.
Yeah. A couple nights ago, Thursday night, I was doing some other podcast editing and got that all done. Just put the laptop next to me on the couch. And then I woke up at 3:02. And then I went upstairs to bed and I couldn't sleep. So I turned on music, calm music. It didn't help. I turned on Futurama because that's always my go-to, and it didn't help. And then 4:30, I finally drifted off a little bit, and it just for my alarm to go off at 7.
I understand, man.
Mike, I'm so old.
Same.
Yeah, you're older than me, but you look younger.
I don't know about that, but.
All right, everybody. We appreciate you sticking with us this week, episode 201. What do you want to know about in episode 203? 202, Mike and I are going to take our little lists of superheroes, Justice League and Avengers, and we're going to put them to the test. We're going to roll out our Dungeons and Dragons 20-sided die, and we're going to say, okay, my Green Lantern is superior to your Hawkeye. Let's go have that battle. By the way, that's exactly how it's going to go. Minus the 20-sided die. So this has been Nerds United. We will be back next week on JitteryMonkey.com, the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, and your favorite podcast platform. So until then, be kind.
And rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to JitteryMonkey.com.